Today's scripture reading is 1 John chapter 3, 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
Good morning. It's a good morning, isn't it? It's a beautiful day. Well, our topic this morning is, I think, one of the most important topics for our lives. It is a question that we spend our entire lives trying to answer. The topic is identity. And what's the question? The question is, who am I? God has a lot to say about who we are and about who he created us to be. So this morning, we're going to listen to what God has done to help shape the identities of three of our teens here. So I've invited Blakely North and Alejandra Gudino and Natalie Call to talk about identity and to share a few things about who they are. And in addition, each one has chosen a scripture, a couple scriptures that says something about their personal identity in Christ. So I would like to start this morning by asking each one a few questions. And the first question is to Natalie. And the question is, why is identity important?
That is a great question. I think identity is important because it is who we are. Identity just defines us. It's who we want to become. It's who we were and who we are becoming. Identity is important because it guides us through life. It helps guide what we want to do after high school and after college. It helps define a lot of different things in who we are in Christ as well.
Yeah, so it's who we are. Okay, Blakely, this one's directed at you. Generally, where does your identity come from?
I think my identity comes from God, myself, and others.
What else? Anywhere else? Your dad?
Society. Yeah, that's a good one, but that's kind of others. So, parents. Well, that's others. So God, self, and others.
Okay. Awesome. Alejandra, what are the struggles that kids face today in trying to figure out who they are?
I think a struggle today would be social media and what we see on TV. Kids sometimes aspire to be a certain athlete or actor or just a celebrity. And with them trying to be that one specific person, they're not focusing on who they really are and just focusing on others and how they would.
Yeah, so they're trying to copy others or being so influenced by others. There's, you said social media. I think that's a pretty important point there. Just this week, I don't know if you've followed the news, but there was a girl who they say basically coaxed her boyfriend through messaging into killing himself, committing suicide. And so there's a trial going on. And, it's social media, somebody getting caught up in reading what they feel, what is being directed at them, and it's powerful enough for them to take their own life. That's crazy. Okay, so next question. This is kind of actually I don't know who to ask. Maybe we can ask you. Do adults struggle with trying to figure out who they are? Do you struggle with trying to figure out? How about you, Jim? Yeah. What do you guys think? Do adults struggle with trying to figure out who they are?
Nah.
Never? So they've got it all together. Adults have it all together.
Oh, yeah, totally. Definitely. 100% all together.
Especially, don't forget that, Sam.
Yeah, Sam. Don't forget
I've got
that.
It all together, so you better listen to me.
He knows what he's doing. No, adults don't have anything together. They are...
The truth comes out.
I think adults are rather unprepared, especially when they're doing sermons. I think...
Okay, next. What do you think, Natalie?
Before you get grounded, I think identity is consistently changing. It's a constant change. And, I mean, there's those midlife crises that people often go through. Like I'm going through right now with school and finals. And
so you're going through a midlife crisis right now?
Yeah, I think... Finals are just...
It's a mid-teen crisis.
Yeah. But I think it's consistently changing. People oftentimes will be done with high school and college, have a degree, and then they're like 20 years into their degree and they don't like what they do. So they are 40 and they don't like their job, so they want to go back to school or figure out something else to do with their life.
So there's stages that happen. Everybody is trying to figure out. Yeah, I'm here and I'm trying to figure out who I am now after being a missionary in Thailand for 17 years where my life is totally different than it is now.
Or like also, like if something changes in your life, you kind of have to figure out who you are without that.
Yeah. Yeah, who I was 3 years ago and compared to now, it's like, I just have to remember where my identity lies. Okay, what do you think, Alejandra?
I think...
Do adults struggle with their identity?
I think they do, because I guess, as Natalie said, everything changes consistently, like day by day, things go by, and it can change you or how you see things and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So our identity is... a pretty important subject, would you say, for pretty much all of our lives? Has anybody here got it all figured out yet? Okay, so we'll find out with this question. I'm going to ask everybody this question. Explain who you are in one sentence.
Drummer.
That's only one word.
Do you want more?
A sentence.
A sentence?
A sentence is actually more than one word.
Oh.
It has a subject, a verb.
I am drummer.
I am a drummer. That's better. Thank you.
I would have to say Jan Yag Ki Jang would describe my life in one sentence. It's in Thai. It means I want to ride an elephant.
Can you say that one more time?
Jan yag ki jang.
Let's teach them how to say that. You want to learn how to you want to speak some Thai?
Okay, so it's chan. So chan yag ki jang.
You're going too fast.
Yeah.
They just got the first word. What's the second word?
Chan yag.
Ki.
Chang. Say it all together. Okay. So, Chan, Yag, Ki, Chang. Thank you, Yam.
What's that mean again?
I want to ride an elephant.
There you go. You now know how to say in Thai, I want to ride an elephant. Welcome to my youth group. This is exactly how our sermons pretty much go. It's like, we get going, and then we diverge, and we go off into something else. So it's pretty much exactly it if you were downstairs.
But,
what does that have to do with your identity?
That has to do with my identity, besides the fact that I love elephants and I really want to ride one. I want to go on a mission trip to Thailand.
Yes.
Yes, and... I have two very good leaders who can both speak Thai, which I would like to go with.
Yeah, that's Sam and John.
And so I really hope to go to Thailand before I graduate high school.
Awesome. You will.
Before I go to college.
Praise God. How about you, Alejandra?
I'm just a girl trying to get through high school.
Just a girl trying to get through high school. It's probably better to start off with something simple. And, because actually, I think inside we are all so complex, you know, and that's, I like this question. You should try this sometime. Ask yourself that question. Explain who you are in one sentence. It's almost impossible. It's really hard. You can think of things that you like to do. Well, you know, I'm a musician. I'm a worship leader.
Drummer.
But does that really, you know, say who you are? It's really hard to, you know, to in just a short, concise phrase to explain who you are, because we're so complex inside. But at the end of this message, we're going to find out who we are, and maybe we'll be able to say it in one sentence.
I'm Batman.
Okay, so we were talking about identity, and so each of them have chosen a couple of verses, and we're going to read those scriptures and see what they have to say and hear from each one. So, Blakely, I want to start with you, and what were the scriptures that you chose?
I chose Genesis 1:1-2, and Jesus wept.
Which is John 11:35.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew that.
So, John 1, can you read John 1, or Genesis 1:1-2?
Yeah. Actually, I learned it in kindergarten, so I don't need the teleprompt thing.
Okay, can you shut it off? Let's see if he can.
All right. Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters.
You missed one word. It's actually void.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm terribly sorry. I missed.
It says empty on that one. So. I'm a new King James guy, so.
All right, so anyway, this is the formation of the world, and it says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, so God is present during this time, and it just helps to shape how the world is and what it sets the scene for what is to come. God is creating the world, and God is clearly present before the world was even there.
That's pretty deep. So you got all that out of just thinking about identity. So you say the foundation. Would you say the foundation of our identity is the fact, first of all, that God created everything?
Yes.
Is your dad a pastor?
No. He just likes to pretend to be one.
Okay. What about John 11:35?
Jesus wept. This verse, it shows how human Jesus was. I mean, Jesus wept, and we get sad sometimes and we cry. And, so it just gives us another way to identify with Jesus. And then another verse that obviously wasn't in this, it says in Genesis again that, we are created in the image of God. And that's more identity, how we can relate to him.
So that's pretty good. That's really good. He came up with this by himself, by the way. I quarantined him from his dad during the time that he was preparing. So so the fact that Jesus wept, let me see if I can wrap my mind around this, means that, I'm not going to tell my wife this, but that means that I can cry.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. It's okay.
So I don't have to be afraid of my emotions. It's a part of who I am.
Yeah.
So when I'm feeling this thing coming up that just, and I just want to go, I don't have to be afraid of that?
No. That's just the feeling of sorrow. I'm a doctor, I know, trust me.
That's pretty good. That's good stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Blakely. So can we give a hand? Give him a hand. Okay, Alejandra, what were the scriptures that you chose?
My first scripture is from Romans 15:7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God.
And from this, I think it's saying everyone has a different identity, and as long as you accept everyone else's identity, it creates your own identity, and it makes God happy that you are accepted and you're accepting others.
Yeah, so I like how you said everybody has their own identity, and we accept other people in their, in who they are. We don't try to make them into, we want them what we want them to be. That's pretty powerful. And as we do that, so how does that shape your identity as well, by being accepting of other people?
Well, as long as you're accepting God into your life, because he created that other person as well. So you have a bit of him inside.
So it's all about acceptance, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. What about your next scripture, 1 Peter 5:7?
Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And this kind of reminded me of my mom, because she's a parent and she cares for me. And whenever I'm really anxious about something or I cry, she doesn't want to see me cry. And she's like, just calm down and stuff. And with anxiety comes from how you think other people see you, like in the way you dress or the way you act or anything. So all that, if you just pray or just believe in God and you just tell him, please take my anxiety away, he'll take it away for you because he loves you and cares for you.
Awesome. So the fact that God, we know that God cares for us when we're feeling anxious inside about ourselves, just knowing, that there is the creator of the universe, the one who formed us, knowing that he loves us and he cares for us and he accepts us. Just that simple knowledge right there can take away anxiety, can make things seem like they're not as bad as it might feel at first, right? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Alejandra. Okay, Natalie.
Before I go, did you want to share any examples of how that scripture has worked in your
stories.
Life?
Okay, so a few weeks ago, I had to do an oral commentary for my English class to send to IB. And we would get a passage that day on the spot, and we'd have to analyze and talk about it for 15 minutes straight. And the night before, I was really anxious and almost crying because I didn't want to do it because I'm not good at speaking. And so that night I prayed just that I could get a poem because it's easier to do. And then the next morning I was still panicking. And so I prayed that morning because my oral was in the morning, right when I got to school. And I just prayed again that I could get a poem and that all my anxiety would just go away and that I would do okay on it. And then when I got to the library where I was going to do the oral, I sat down in the chair waiting for my teacher, and I was shaking. And then I started to pray again. And then when I got inside, she gave me the stack of envelopes that I could choose from, and I got the poem I wanted. And then I went through the whole process, and at the end she said that I did very good and that I had nothing to worry about.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I have two as well. The first one is Ephesians 2:8, saved by grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. I believe this is trying to convey and emphasize how we cannot save ourselves. No matter how hard we try, we can't. God is the only one who can save all of us. Without our faith in God, life would be so uncertain and scary. Every day would be a challenge because we have no security net. We have no one to give us our strength. And this means for all of us that all of our sins and all of our little daily mistakes are forgiven. The little tiny things that you mess up every single day, God doesn't count those against you because he loves you. And he has created this grace because of his love for us. He wanted to spend eternity with us. Each and every single one of us, he created us thinking like, oh, this is going to be Alejandra and I'm going to love her. Or this is going to be Yam and I love her. He did that with every single one of us. Before our parents even knew we were going to exist, before our parents existed. He wanted us to be with him for eternity. So he sent his son, his only son, to die for us. The son that he loved so much. And he did that because he loved us too. This is an amazing scripture because it really shows identity. It shows who we are in Christ. We are loved by him. We are forgiven through him. We are made so spectacularly that he gives us chance after chance, even when we don't deserve it. Even when we don't feel like we love him, he loves us, no matter what. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love this scripture and that she chose, you know, this, the fact that we are forgiven. That if we, she said, if we mess up, you know, we come to God and know that he accepts us and that, you know, he is there waiting for us with loving hands. That is so, I think that's so important for forming who we are inside, because we can get caught up in, you know, in the part of us that constantly is messing up, and we can start to feel like, well, I'm just a screw up. I mess up all the time and I'm terrible. But when we understand and we realize how God has forgiven us and Jesus has forgiven us and he has that acceptance waiting for us, it starts to change your thinking, doesn't it? It starts to change your mind of who you are in God. I think it's very foundational to our identity. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah.
And along with being saved by grace, he also heals us. And the passage I have chosen is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So I was really trying to understand and analyze this passage deeper than just you've been healed by your Savior. I Googled, what's the definition of bore? And according to Google, this is the definition. Make a hole in something, especially with a revolving tool. I was like, all right, how does... I was like, how does this fit into this passage? So when I was trying to connect the definition of bore to this passage, I came to the realization of his crucifixion. The fact that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was pinned to the cross by thick metal rods in his hands and feet. Not just small rods, but big rods that tore through his flesh and that definitely hurt. And his skull was pierced with thorns, not just rose thorns, but big, long thorns. And he was stabbed to make sure he was dead with a spear. And he did this for each and every one of us because he really does love us. This really illustrates his love for us. We're the reason he was tortured to death. Our sins killed him. But he did it so we can make our humanly daily mistakes and still be with him. This passage really shows who we are. We are the children of the King, not just a king, but the King of Kings. We are the princes and princesses. We are loved by the Lord Almighty. We are his prized creatures. We are loved by God. When I was 8 years old in the second grade, we had a little project, and we had to figure out what we wanted to do in the future, and we had to find a person who did that and interview them. I wanted to be a princess. And I was like, Dad, where do I find a princess? Because I need to interview one. And ever so gently, he said, Natalie, being a princess is not a profession. And that kind of broke my heart. So to soften it up, he said, well, you can work at Disneyland. But knowing that I am the daughter of a king, not just the king of Thailand or the king of England or anything like that, but I am the king of those kings.
That makes sense. You're the daughter of the king of those kings.
Yes. And so no matter what, I am a princess, and I don't have to have a crown to prove it or a title or be in charge of a country because I know I am a princess. And we are all princesses and princes. That's probably really amazing.
Awesome. So if I take that one phrase right there, I can pretty much explain who I am, and it covers everything I think that we need. I am a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Is that a pretty good identity?
I think it's the best one people can have.
Amen.
Besides drummer.
You could say I'm a drummer of the King. Sure he does. He created drums. Okay, we'll talk about that later. All right. So we are children of the King. We are princes and princesses. That's foundational to our identity, I think. And we are healed. We're forgiven. I think that's foundational, too. We have been accepted. We don't have to stress out about who we are or have anxiety about the different things that come in to our lives.
And not having God in your life, think about how you don't know who you are without him. He is so crucial to our existence. Besides the fact that he made us, he is my lifeline. He's always there when no one else is, and he's the protecting hand over everyone. So,
amen, amen. So we find our identity in God, in Christ, and that's who we always go back to in all of our different crises that come along in our lives, which there always will be. We always step back and say, wait a second, this is falling apart, that's falling apart, everything is just going crazy on me, but I am a child of the King, and that's where I stand. Amen. Amen. Okay, so for this, for the end of the service here, I'd like to, I've asked Natalie and the youth, so could the youth all come up, to pray for you, to pray for each of you, and then I would like to ask Jane afterwards to come up and lead you guys in a prayer for the youth. So, this is just showing our love and acceptance of each other, and to show that we want to bless each other. I believe this is the future. The youth are the future of our church, and we need you guys. They need you. They need you in their lives. They need you to love them and accept them and bless them. It makes a big difference for us. And you need us. And you need to know that we love you and that we accept you and that we want to bless you as well. And we are all a part of the church here at Rose Hill. And so let's bless each other.
Dear Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, I want to thank you for everyone in this room and how magnificently you made them. And I pray for the people who have their daily struggles, for that you can help them through them. And for people who are struggling with their identity right now, please guide them and show them that they are your child, they are your prince and princesses, that you are that they are loved by you. Each and every one of us in this room is the most wonderful creation you have ever made. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for every soul and their love in this room. And I want to thank you for how amazing you are as our Lord and Savior.
Can we all stand as Jane prays a prayer over the youth? And would you like to raise your hand out towards us just as a symbolic?
Heavenly Father, thank you for these young people and your great love for them, Lord. For your gift of salvation and your call on their lives as your people, as your children. Father, help them to grow in the knowledge of you more and more every day. Help this place, this body of believers, to be in prayer for them and to surround them with your love and encouragement. Lord, we pray for them, for your guidance for them in their lives, for the gifts and the talents that you give them, that you guide them in the center of your will for their lives, Lord. You know them completely. And your heart for them is love. Thank you, Lord, for them. Bless them in Jesus' name, we pray.